yesterday, pure and forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never will. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. He who pardons every Peter never needs thou fear. He that came to faithful Thomas, all the doubt was clear. He who led the loved disciple on his bosom rest, bids thee still with love and tender lean upon his breast. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to Him. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. On the fourth, as of old He walked with Amos, with men to abide. So through life and life He walked, ever near our side. Soon again we will behold Him as the Lord today. But we'll still be the same Jesus as away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Amen.
All right, good morning to y'all. We need about this many more. Some of them are away. Cliff's down on the road, right?
He came home, but he left his car.
Okay. But anyway. Don't forget, after the service or before the service tonight, we're going to take a vote on the preacher, see if we can get rid of him. Now, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to retire, the Lord willing, if I'm alive. The 17th of November of this year, I'd be 81 years old, so I'll catch up with some of you all here, catch up with Eddie and Vicki. The Lord's will may be done, okay? We'll pray about coming to vote tonight, okay? We have ballots here, okay? So be sure and do that. Let's be sure and do that. Let's go ahead and get the offering here at this time, if you would, gentlemen, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon us, God. And I'm sure there's some people here that needs to hear from God this very day, Lord Jesus. And I would pray that you, Lord, would bring your Holy Spirit upon them for peace and guidance and justice in their lives, Lord. And Father, that your blessed will be done in the voting tonight. Father, I pray that you would guide the church as to another pastor. And, of course, I believe that Brother Van Horn is that choice that I would make. And, Lord, pray much about it. I ask you to guide our hearts and encourage our hearts, Lord, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. So may you bless, and may you bless this offering today for Christ's sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, amen. We're just saying about Jesus always being the same, never changing. Now the question is this morning, are you washed in his blood? Turn to page 22. Page 22, are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are you white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, as we do this fourth verse on the chorus, I want to hear everybody sing. All I hear is myself. So I'll quit singing here in the chorus a little bit, and I want to hear y'all sing, okay? On the last verse, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed with the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing in the soul unclean, so be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Here you go now. Amen. In the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. You did good. I'm proud of you. Did you have announcements? Or you already announced? You made, okay. Pastor's already made the announcements, so we'll go to our last song. It's at page 66. This is probably my favorite song in the whole hymnal, at Calvary. You know, at Calvary, that's where Christ paid for our sins. Should never forget this song. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord would crucify, knowing not that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I've learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty heart and pouring dirt to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that through salvation planned. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty cloth that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. On the last. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my rapture told and only saint of Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was murder applied to me. There my burden sold my liberty at Calvary. Well, amen. Three great songs. And we do need to always remember Calvary. Because without Calvary, you and I would be in a big mess. Now this morning, the message is going to be about finding encouragement for life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've said many times I wished I could go back and change something in my past. Most people would be thinking about things pertaining to what they did in their own lives on this earth. For instance, maybe we didn't think we were the parents we ought to have been. Maybe we raise our children and think more about worldly things than spiritual things, because that's how we lived our life. And I wonder this morning if you can think of anything. Think about this. Can you think of anything that you would change in your spiritual life if you could go back? I know there's a lot of things I would change in my spiritual life. Because whether we like it or not, we all know that God does not afford us the opportunity to go back. But He does give us the opportunity to change our futures. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we go to 1 John 1:9 with a pure heart, with a heart, a humble heart, we can have a brand new start today. All the things are past, they're gone away. And if we follow this scripture from the heart, we are afforded the opportunity of this change, not only for our spiritual future on this earth, but most of all, we can change our rewards and our future standings in the life to come, which is what is the most important thing. You see, God did not just put this promise in the Bible just to take up room. It's a real promise. And at the same time, it's also a warning. From a God that does not and will not change His mind, I would like to encourage each of us this morning to do our best and take God up on this promise and make some positive spiritual moves in our lives, knowing that we can always find help we need within the covers of the Holy Word. Now, with that in mind, I want you to look with me at our text, Jeremiah 29. We're going to be looking at 10 through 13. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 13. And we're going to look at the worldly actions of Israel. And then we're also going to look at how God reacted to these worldly things that they did. Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 10. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for our many blessings. I thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, standing behind this pulpit. I pray that you would just help each one of us to get a good handle on what you're wanting us to get this morning. I pray for Brother Art, Lord, as he's in Shelby in the nursing home. Pray for his quick recovery, and pray for Vicki as she travels back and forth. I pray for our country and its leaders, Lord, and those poor folks in Texas. I pray that you would just heal each one of those and help them. Now, I'd ask you to put a hedge around this church this morning. Protect and bless each of us here. And give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name and for His sake. Amen. Now, like I said, this morning's message is entitled Finding Encouragement for Life. Now, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the word encouragement or encourage, as meaning to inspire with courage, both spirit and hope, or to spur on. Now, many times people tend to think that God's Word is just a book of rules, of do's and don'ts. And of course, if we've read the Bible, we will understand that is not the case at all. The thing of it is, God has given you and I the knowledge of things that are meant to help and encourage us to live the lives He wants us to live. Because He is conscious of each and every one of us. He wants each and every one of us to live the life that He wants. Now, one example of the real reasons for why He gave us the Bible is found in Romans 7:7. Romans 7:7, Paul tells us how if it wasn't for the Scripture, he wouldn't even know what sin was. If it wasn't for the law, he would not know what sin was. Romans 7:7. The Bible says in Romans 7:7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see, God's Word is so much more than the do's and don'ts in our life. It tells us what sin is. And like any other gift from God, we must, and I repeat must, be willing to search them out and accept them. God's Word will never touch our heart or be an encouragement to you and I if our Bible sits on the shelf all week long. It just won't happen. Won't happen. We need to study to show ourselves approved. See, Israel here in this passage this morning, Israel's being punished for disobedience. And as we begin our text, we're going to look at God speaking to the nation of Israel through His prophet, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:1, it says that these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the residue of the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So now if we look on down a couple of verses, look on down to verses 19 and 20 of Jeremiah 29, we'll see that Israel had not listened to the prophets. God had led Jeremiah many, many times to tell them and to warn them. But just like many folks today, God warns us in His Bible day after day after day, but we continue. Too many of us continue to walk in the way of the world. They went their merry old way. They didn't pay any attention to Jeremiah. Now we see that they are being chastised by God by allowing them to be taken captive. Look at verses 19 and 20. And here's why they're being taken captive. Because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of captivity, of whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. If you notice here, God makes it very clear why they're in Babylon. And it tells us that He initiated this captivity because of disobedience of the folks. Because it says in 20, Jeremiah 29:20, whom I have sent. You see, God sent these people into captivity. And the chastisement is definitely because of their disobedience. Now, chastisement is also in the future for those of us that refuse to follow the leading of the Lord. If you look at me at 2 Peter 2:7, we will see one of the warnings God's given to all of us today. You see, this chastisement God did to Israel is meant for you and I to learn something from. Learn that you and I, if we don't follow the Word of God, you and I too will be chastised. We will feel the chastisement of God. Look at 2 Peter 2:7, and we'll see one of the warnings given to us, even to us today. because this thing had already taken place. Peter, 2 Peter 2:6 says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example." What's an example? An example for you and I to learn something from. "Unto those that after should live ungodly." You see, Sodom and Gomorrah was not only a punishment for sin in those days, but it's an example for you and I to learn from. That He has the power to do that to you and I today. Just like that. Don't work real well anymore. It used to really work well. But it's coming back maybe a little bit. But He could take our life in an instant. But God encouraged Israel. Even in all their problems, He is encouraging Israel. And look at Jeremiah 29:10. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works towards you in causing you to return to this place." Okay, so He has chastised them. He sent them to Babylon. And in 70 years, He promised, "I'll bring you back." Many times you and I rebel and refuse God's word. And a lot of times we do it without any conscience at all. Without any fear of God's retribution. I'm sure these people were not afraid to disobey God at the time. Like many Christians today, we tend to be too busy worrying about ourselves and our own troubles to worry about what God feels about what we're doing. Most do not even give a thought to the possibility that God might chastise you and me. That doesn't cross a lot of people's minds. Even though we know the Bible promises that He will. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 12:6-8. Hebrews 12:6-8. And praise the Lord, He gives us the warning. He gives us the information we need. Hebrews 12:6-8. Verse 6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chastises, and scourges every son whom He received. If you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as sons. For what is a son? What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons." So we need to be very careful. We look in our life, if we can live in the world and we can act like the world and we can do the things of the world and we're never chastised, we never have any conscience, we better check our salvation condition. We have to. The Bible goes on to make the comparison between how we feared our earthly fathers, how we feared their wrath. And I wonder, as we read this and we look back through our lives, I wonder if you ever think about it, why do we not fear the chastisement of God our Father when we disobey Him? Look at Hebrews 12:9-10. Move on down a couple, or just to the next two verses. It says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness." Now, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. I was born in a time before anybody but referees heard of timeouts. There was no timeout at my house. There was no taking away my TV. There was no taking away of my cell phone. My parents did not believe in sending me to my room for punishment. They understood that it took pain for me to understand. And pain is what taught me how to behave. My parents would have, without a doubt, be in jail today. And so would I. Because I raised my children the same way. It's how God tells us to teach our children. The world hates it because of the godly outcome. Somebody said the other day, if you want to know what our world's going to be like in 30 years, ask a kindergarten teacher. Think about that. I know kids that have to be homeschooled because schools can't take them. Won't take them. They're that bad. But you see, I'm not talking, when I stand up here and talk about correcting our children, I'm not talking about beating them half to death. I'm talking about chastisement under control. One time, and I am very, very sorry for that to this day, I punished my boys when I was mad. One should never do that because you don't have control when you're mad. Now, you can be upset, but it's how God teaches us. In Proverbs 29:15, the rod of reproof gives wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You look around the world today, you look at some of the families, oh yeah, there's good kids out there, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there aren't. Because they are a lot of good kids. But a lot of the good kids were raised in church and raised biblically. Because it says in Proverbs 26:6, train up a child in the way he should go. How should he go? He should love the Lord. He should worship the Lord. He should want to be in church. He should want to pray. He should want to do what God wants him to do. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart. He will not depart from it. Now, I know a lot of preachers and I know a lot of parents that are sad today because maybe all their kids aren't serving the Lord and they did everything they could. But here's the promise. When he is old, he will not depart from it. We may not see it in our lifetime, but God promises if we've done our job that when he is old, he will understand. But this can only be accomplished if we do it the way we are told to do it and accept it as an encouragement and a guidance of God. Look at Proverbs 23, 12 through 14. So you and I need to do this too. You and I need to wise up a little bit. You and I need to get into our Bibles. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Get into the Word of God and study it day after day after day. Proverbs 23:12 says, apply thy heart unto instruction and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Where are we going to find instruction in the words of knowledge except in the Bible? Withhold not the correction of the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. Now, how to raise our children, of course, is an encouragement. It's not something that we should resist in the thinking that we're going to ruin the children. I've heard many, many, many young parents today say, oh, I wouldn't spank my child. It'll ruin his spirit. Well, I don't say break their spirit. I say break their wills. Break their wills. Help them to understand who is in charge. Not only are you in charge, but God's in charge of you. Get that across to him. It also meant for you and I to understand that if we're here this morning and truly born again, we are children of God and we too will face punishment just as we did our own children. And trust me, God's chastisement will come while we're on this earth. I say that because Jesus paid the price for our sin. They're all covered. Far as the east is from the west, our sins are forgotten. But let me tell you what, we willfully sin today. We will stand in chastisement of God. Because you see, that does not exempt us from being punished for disobeying God in this life. God's thoughts are always good. They're not bad. God has never had an evil thought. There are even Christians that think God's mean. Being a pastor, I'm sure Pastor Al's heard many of them too. People come up and say, oh, God's mean. Nothing could be further from the truth. I might have given you just one example, but I had one lady in Crestline. Her mother was 90 plus. And she said, God is mean because my mother died. Well, you know, and you couldn't tell her any different. She blamed God for her mother dying. Well, and it was God's. He appointed her a time to die, just like He's appointed you a time to die. He's appointed a time for me to die. And for you and I to argue when we die or when somebody else dies, it's the Lord's will. And if we're a saint, I'll tell you, there's a good time in heaven when a saint goes to see, be with the Lord. Look with me, if you will, Jeremiah 29:11. And we'll see that God's thoughts not always mean. God's thoughts not to our bad, but it's to our good. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Now, sometimes you and I can't see the good in things that happen to you and I on this earth. But it's imperative that we continue to have faith in the fact that God loves each of us and wants the best for us. And the fact that all things will work together for good. You see, we must continue in faith. Without faith, we have nothing, folks. And you and I need to be very, very, very careful when we begin to judge the real judge. The real judge, God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Too many times people want to judge that. But if you look at me, look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 4:15-18, we'll see that we absolutely have to continue in faith. Because if we don't have faith, there's no way in the world we're ever going to come here on Sunday. No way we're going to come on Saturday night or Sunday night. No way we're going to come on Wednesday night because we don't have the faith that that's what God wants us to do. God tells us that when the doors are open, we're to be here. He tells us that. And He doesn't ask us to do it. He commands us to do it. As before we get to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we always need to be looking to the future existence, which is the eternal. And relax a little bit about what's going on in your life. Relax a little bit about it, because that's not the important thing. The important thing is our future life. When we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we receive the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is more interested in your future than He is in your today. The Spirit is meant to be the guiding element to our Christian lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You'll hear me say that many, 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 many times. All things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You see, that 15 and 16 affirms the fact that all these new things are done for our sakes. And for that reason, we should never, ever give up. We need to continue to read and glean what we can from the Word of God. I'll tell you what, there's no way in the world. I've read this Bible through now. Excuse me. This will be my 32nd year of reading it all the way through. It'll be my 65th time reading through the New Testament. And trust me, all those times of reading, I still learn something every time I read through the Bible. Every time I read through the Bible, you say, well, I read through the Bible, I know it all now. Pastor Page probably read the Bible that many times too. You don't know it all yet either, do you, preacher? Nobody's ever going to know it all. Jesus Christ is the only one. But one thing we do need to remember, whatever it is going on in your life, God's doing it for a reason. 2 Corinthians 4:15-16 says, for all things are for your sake. It doesn't say that some things. It doesn't say that just the good things are for your sake. It says the bad things are for your sakes too. Because when it says for all things, that's all encompassing. That leaves out nothing, does it? For all things are for your sake. That the abundant for which cause ye faint not, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now here's what he's saying about this worldly life of ours. It says, for our light affliction, no matter what we're going through in this world, it's just for a moment. In the time, if you compare your lifetime to eternity, it's about 3 seconds. That's about it. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You understand what that's saying? That is saying that whatever's going on in your life, we need to take it as something as good as going on. There is a reason. God's never made a mistake and He's never done anything wrong. Never yet has He. And He is a God of pure love. There is no hate in our God. We find in the book of James, the whole life on earth is described as a vapor. Have you ever watched a tea kettle? The vapor come out of a tea kettle, it lasts about that far, and then it's gone. Look at James 4:14-15. And it's telling us, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and it shouldn't bother you because we know that all things work together for good. So whatever happens tomorrow, let it happen. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that, listen closely, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If it's the will of God, we should do this or that. Now let's go back to our text again in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 18. And we'll find God encourages us not to look on the things which are going on in this life, but to stay focused on what's really important. 2 Corinthians 4:18. You see, sometimes we as humans tend to lose focus on where our mind should be. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, that's the world, but at the things which are not seen, heavenly. Those things which are seen are temporal, going to be gone in just a little bit. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, which do you think is more important this morning? The temporal things that's going on in our lives, or the things that we got to look forward to in heaven? Now, as we go back to our text, once again, we see the biblical encouragement in the fact that God does hear our prayers. We're talking about prayer. Last Wednesday night, I asked the folks to take sometime twice a day and pray for new folks in our church. Pray for new people to come. 2 times a day. It'd take 3 minutes, 2 minutes, and ask God to send us some more people. Twice a day, that's not too much to ask. I've done it. I wonder how many have. But I challenge you here today to do that. Just take that little bit of time and ask God for it. Because in Hebrews 4:15-16, See, we have Christ. They're waiting to hear our prayers. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, here it comes in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Now, the question is, do we really want God's blessings this morning? The last verse of our text this morning, we find God promising these Israelites, if they really want to find God, if you really want to find God in your life, turn back to our text, Jeremiah 29:13. He's going to tell you how to do it. It's very simple. It's very simple. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. The Bible tells us so many times to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And then if you look with promise with me in verse 14, it says, and ye shall seek me and find me. Now in verse 14, it says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away. You see, God had them carried away because of their rebellion. But he tells us, if you seek me, if you really from the heart, you want to see me. Pastor used a passage this morning, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And that's what God's telling us to do. To seek him with all of our hearts. Now that's not really the greatest promise of all. It's a wonderful promise of hearing our prayer. But the greatest promise of all times that God gives us, and that's the gift of salvation. Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I said Wednesday night, we talked about this a little bit, that repentance is a part of salvation. We confess with our mouth. That means we repent of our sin. We say, oh, I sinned, and I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to repent of that. And then we ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us. It's that simple. Just know. And this is how I got mine. This is how when I got saved. I couldn't see it, I know. But I felt that if I were to die that second, I was going to end up in hell. I couldn't wait to get on my knees and ask Christ to forgive me. I really couldn't wait because I knew just as sure as I was standing there, I was headed for hell. But I also knew there was a way out. And a passage that encouraged me tremendously in my early Christian life is 1 John 2:1-3. I'm sorry, 1. 1 John 2:1. It says, my little children, God's writing to you folks. He's writing to every one of us individually. He's writing to us. He says, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the Christ Jesus. No one can take our problems to God except Christ. No one can forgive our sins except Christ. I don't care. No priest can do it. He can say all he wants. Mary can't do it. No so-called saint can do it. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Well, Jeannie's not here, so I can say it. There ain't anybody who can do it. Just plain ain't anybody. Jesus stands alone with God by his throne. Remember what we just read in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that's Christ Jesus, and he's already paid for every one of our sins. Even the sins we're going to commit are paid for. But once we're saved and we commit a sin, look out for chastisement. Been there and done that. Been chastised. It's not a good feeling. But he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for all the sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. And that, of course, in no way tells us that we're no longer sin, because we will. Galatians 3:2, but the Scripture has included all are under sin. So we can't say when we got saved we're sinless. There's congregated, there's folks out there that believe that when they get saved, they're sinless. They can't sin. Well, now, all you have to do is read the Bible. Read the Bible, all through the Bible. It warns us. But the greatest encouragement ever given to men is the fact that salvation of our souls from the fires of hell or the second death has already been paid for those that are written, whose names are written in the book of life. Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This was the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life today? Do you remember a time when you asked Christ to come into your heart? Do you remember a time when you repented of your sins and you wanted Christ to come into your heart? Because it says if it was not found written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Make sure. I ask you this morning, one last time, are you sure your name's there? Because there's only one way to get it written in there, folks. That's accept Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't remember a time you've done that, or maybe you're here this morning and you're not real sure that you've ever done it. Because if you're saved, you'll know you're saved. We're going to do a short invitation today. But I'd ask you to be praying. And I do thank you, Father, for this privilege of preaching this message this morning, Lord. I pray that it was what you would want me to say. And Lord, as we do this invitation, if everybody would stand with their heads bowed, no one looking around. I'm not even looking at you either. I'm just asking, is there someone here this morning that is not really sure? Because that could cost you. That could cost one eternity in the fires of hell just for not being sure. God says we know. We'll know him if we keep his commandments. Are we keeping his commandments today? Are we living the life Jesus wants us to live? Most important decision you ever make in your life. If you're not sure this morning, I'd ask you to come. The preacher's standing here. He'll talk with you. Maybe you just have a concern in your life and you just want to come and have a good old-fashioned talk with the Lord. He's waiting. He stands with his arms open, waiting on you. We're going to do one more verse and we'll close. Amen, Pastor.
Okay, don't forget tonight, Pastor, have that book. And you can take it here. But I'll still be here. Just have to put up with me. My other thing. But anyway, just don't give our service tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you.